So today I received a question on my TikTok account and I thought we could answer it on the podcast. Someone sent in a question and asked me for tips for focusing on your goals because she was saying that she's slipping. And I thought it would be great for me and Clara to share our thoughts on this. And we are thinking of starting a new segment on the podcast where you guys can send in your questions. And we will share our advice, insight, all that stuff. So if you do want our advice, you can send us a DM on Instagram at Glow Radio Co. and we will choose some of those to answer on the podcast. So, Clara, would you like to start off on answering this question that this person had? How do you stay focused on your goals?
How do I stay focused on my goals? I mean, there's so many different goals. I feel like it is such a vague topic. So maybe I think I do best when I give some examples. So by staying, I guess, focused on my fitness and health goals, I really have to remind myself like why I'm doing this, right? Like every time I'm left with the choice of like should I work out or should I be a bum or whatever. Not saying that you can't have rest days, but let's say for that example where you're teetering on that and you're like, I don't know if I should rest because I don't really think I need to, but I'm also like tailing off. I'm not really that hype about working out. Then in those situations, I ask myself, like, am I going to regret not working out? Right. So I think a major, how do I say it? A major thing that you need to do when you're trying to focus on your goals is really that touch of mindfulness. It's being able to slow down and have a moment where you're asking yourself, is this worth doing? Is this something that's going to benefit me? Is it something that I truly enjoy? And then being able to decide from there, because there is no right or wrong answer. I feel like if you force yourself to do something and maybe you really are actually tired that day and you need the rest, then that's not going to help you or benefit you. And if anything, that will demotivate you or pause you in your goals. Whereas, you know what? I lost my train of thought, but that's one of them. Maybe I can pass it back to Jacqueline and then I will have more examples because I feel like as a projector, I just have so many things to say about that.
I think those are all good points that you mentioned, and I think that's very true. It kind of ties into, like, I talked about this a little bit on my TikTok, and I started it off by saying there are three questions that I would probably say to ask yourself. And the first one is, like, what is your intuition telling you at this moment? The second question is, are you forcing things, which you touched on? And the third question, which I feel like is one of the most important questions, actually, is this goal even aligned with me? And to kind of expand on that, because I feel like in my life, a lot of the times when I found myself not being able to focus on certain goals, it's actually because the goal itself just wasn't aligned with my path. And a lot of the times I was forcing it. I think we talked about this a little bit before, where I was saying sometimes we think that a certain goal is going to give us a feeling, like it's going to give us the feeling of freedom, feeling worthy, feeling loved, whatever. But it's like, even when you get there, you're not going to feel those things if you don't kind of resolve that within yourself first. So yeah, I feel like it really depends on your intuition, because motivation is not consistent. We're not robots. We go through cycles in life, even as females with our menstrual cycle, with the seasons, with the moon phases. So I feel like it's good to remind yourself to take breaks and to kind of reassess what your intuition is telling you.
That is so good and such a Pisces answer. Follow your intuition. No, but I totally agree with you. And I guess I was speaking more in the sense of like for my example, I've gone through so many similar situations where I was just forcing a goal and it just really wasn't meant for me. But let's say you do find a goal that is aligned with you, then it all comes down to, you know, that you're not going to feel motivated or, you know, feel like you're going to be able to stick with it every day. It's being able to find that balance and enjoyment. And the more you enjoy doing something, the more you're going to want to stick to it, right? So a big part of it is finding out, like, is this goal satisfying? Mm-hmm. Is it something that's satisfying for me? Is it something that I want to pursue? Because when I think about goals that we force each other, forced ourselves, force ourselves to do the goal. Let's say for me, again, fitness, that it's such a huge thing for me. And to this day, I'm trying to find my balance with it. But I was like forcing myself to be this like bodybuilding lifter. And every day I would go home in pain, cry, you know, be so beat up that I end up not doing it for 3 months. And then I repeat it again. I'm like, no, that's my goal. That's my only goal. That's the only thing I'm going to be able to do. And it was just such a terrible process. I did not enjoy a single minute of it. But now I found all these other ways to stay fit and healthy, and, you know, and it feels really good. And I actually am excited to do it. And I have, you know, I didn't really technically set goals for myself, but I have been able to stay consistent.
I love that. I feel like that's such a good example with the fitness thing, because I think a lot of the times we're like conditioned to believe that a certain goal is like the right way, or like your example, like you thought bodybuilding, lifting was the only way back then. But in fact, like, you just had to learn more about your body, figure out what it was that you enjoyed. And now you say that it's like, it's a lot easier, you know, not saying that there's not challenging days, but you don't have to force yourself and die in the process. And I think I actually don't really set goals for myself anymore, because I feel like for myself, I get in this bad mindset of like, if I have a goal, I like force myself to reach it and I get really rigid. So I think what I focus on is more so like day to day and my behaviors and my habits and like what my intention is for the day or for the week. And I think that helped me get in a better mindset.
Absolutely. I definitely don't set goals for myself anymore either. I remember when I would literally sit and stare at my planner and I'm like, come on, Clara, think of all of the things you want to achieve. And I like force myself to sit there for like an hour trying to like write, oh yeah, I want to achieve this too. Oh, okay. You know, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing, man? Like, you know, if I were to read back, you know, the stuff I forced myself to write 2 years ago, half of it probably isn't even valid. Not more than half. I guarantee you more than half probably isn't even valid.
I relate to that so much, because I feel like sometimes I look back in my old journals and I'm like, none of this has been achieved. And it's not even stuff that I want anymore, because back then it was a lot out of my ego and not really like what my soul actually needed. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally, totally get that. So I think if we had to circle back to answer, you know, the person's question, are your goals aligned with you? Like, honest to God, is it something that genuinely is something you want in your life? Or is it a factor of, you know, seeing other people's success around you, or like, you know, being influenced by what you see on social media or society? And yeah, like really, really dig deep and see what you genuinely and truly enjoy. And just keep going for that. Because if it's something you enjoy, it is really hard to not stick with the goal. There must have been something seriously wrong with Saturn retrograde ending or something, because my stuff has been glitching. We've been glitching over here, and we had to cut some of our conversation short.
But moving on, we will answer some other questions now. So these questions are pulled from the Flamingo app that we talked about last week, and I thought it would be fun to answer some more of these. So the first question is, what emotion scares you the most?
Shame. I think shame and embarrassment is one of my major major emotions that I tend to run away from. Like, let's say a shameful or embarrassing thought comes to my mind, I feel like it genuinely gives me ick. Like, I shrivel and like try to push it away. It's something that I find really difficult for me to just like sit and like, you know, try to feel the feelings.
I feel like it's kind of similar to me. Like, I would say shame, but actually I think for me it's anger first. Like, anger kind of scares me a bit, and then I notice every time, not every time, but like a lot of the time when I get angry, after that kind of passes, then shame comes along. So I feel like those two are kind of mixed for me, but yeah, those two kind of scare me.
As a fire sign, I don't understand. Like, I am so quick to anger, and I will stay angry and pissed.
But it's interesting because I feel like I get angry often, and it's not so much that I'm scared of my own anger. It's more so like other people's anger, probably because of my childhood trauma.
Oh, wait, did I answer the wrong question? I mean, did I answer the question wrong?
I don't think so.
Was the question my own emotions, or if I'm scared of someone else's emotions?
Well, I think just in general, what emotion scares you. So it could be both.
Well, if I hear, well, like you said, if I hear like fighting outside, you know, like I am immediately tense. Even if nobody's talking about me, yelling at me, doing anything, like it's just, even if I hear someone else, like, and it's just rage, like, I can feel my body freeze instantly.
I feel that.
I don't know if that's, I wouldn't say that's probably, like, my biggest fear, but I definitely have that freeze response when I hear it.
Same. I get, like, a trauma response when I hear fighting or anger and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was like the highlight of my household was lots of yelling. And, well, I mean, like a lot of my core memories that I remember, it's all fighting, man. It's like someone's yelling at someone. And at one point we had a lot of family members living at my grandpa's house. So like you can guarantee somebody's bickering about something.
Yeah, it's not fun when you grow up in that kind of environment. It's definitely has an impact on you as a child.
I definitely feel like my senses are honed in on that. I can't hear people that are happy. I can definitely hear people that are upset from a mile away.
Not good. But next question here. What is more important, forgiveness or acceptance?
Acceptance, I think. Because, I mean, I guess I feel like I don't need to forgive someone, but I can accept that they exist and I can accept that they piss me off. And yeah, I mean, I think acceptance.
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer.
I'm like,
honestly,
Sorry, I just felt like there was a whole chicken and the egg. I was just like, but do you accept someone and then forgive? But like, yeah.
I feel like I still don't know about this question, because I feel like my mind is a little bit like conditioned or muddled from like my religious background of like how like you have to like forgive people or whatever. But I feel like my interpretation of what forgiveness means is simply choosing to not let the other person have power over you anymore. and like not allowing that anger to like consume you, it doesn't mean that you have to let them back in your life. It doesn't mean you have to reconcile with them. I feel like I define forgiveness as more something for yourself, and it doesn't have to affect or like involve the other person.
See, but that's interesting because that's how I would define acceptance, because it's like you're accepting that there's, you know, resentment there. You're accepting that, you know, they exist, and but you don't have to I guess in my mind, forgiveness is more like, okay, I forgive you, like we can talk again. Where for me, acceptance is more like, I accept that you pissed me off. I accept that things, you know, may not ever get better between us, and like, and that's how it is.
Interesting. I guess it just depends on, I don't even know what the real definition of forgiveness is. Maybe I should Google this. Define forgiveness. Okay, this is not really helpful. It says the action or process of forgiving. Define
Maybe just forgive.
Okay, so it says, forgive means stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake.
Okay, so I guess if it's like feeling wise, it's more like, I feel like then they're both kind of very similar then.
Yeah, I would say so. Because based on that definition, then I would say I feel like forgiveness is important.
Yeah,
to me,
like,
at least.
Well, because if you have to let go of your feelings, it's unhealthy to hang on to and harbor feelings. Like, you either choose to let them go or you're gonna be fucked up for the rest of your life. Just
yeah
having it like in your body, I can't imagine that.
Yeah, that's water sign things, toxic water sign things.
God.
Okay, next question. Let's see. Okay, this kind of ties into that. Do you believe in second chances?
Yes. Well, I mean, it depends on the offense. Does it? I'm thinking. Okay, let's think about the worst offense, like killing someone. I mean, do they deserve a second chance?
I think they do, right? Because isn't, at least in Canada, isn't it like a life sentence, 40 years or something like that?
But I can't talk today. I guess it also depends on how remorseful someone
yes.
is. Like truly, genuinely willing to put in the effort for that second chance.
I agree.
So I guess my answer is yes.
Yes, I totally agree. I feel like I do believe in second chances, but it has to, like, the person has to genuinely feel remorseful. They have to show that they are putting in the effort to change and improve their actions. Otherwise, like, I feel like if you even if I just think of in a relationship sense, like if you're in a relationship with someone, a friendship, I feel like there's a limit. Like you can't just constantly be giving someone a second chance if they don't show that they are improving.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I'm just thinking about like the worst friendship possible, you know, very lots of betrayal and lying or whatever. I mean, ultimately, someone does deserve a second chance, but that would be on the condition of, like, how, I guess, like a probationary period. Like, how well is it going? Are they actually improving? Or are they just being a complete dick, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's a tough one. Like, I feel like it really depends on the situation.
Yeah, I feel like as much as I want to say no, I don't think it'll ever be a no. Like,
yeah.
There will be some sort of turning point where, like, you know what? Maybe they deserve a chance.
Yeah, I think so. I'm a Pisces Venus.
And I'm just sad. Like, we're just like, yeah, whatever. Fuck it. We've done fucked up shit. You know, like, I have energy. Definitely received lots of chances.
I feel like, yeah, people fuck up. Everyone fucks up. Ooh, okay. What year of your life would you like to relive?
Relive as in like redo it, or relive as in like I will repeat that year gladly?
Oh, I read it as the latter. Like, it was such a great year that you want to relive it again.
Is it sad that I don't really have one?
I think that's okay.
Because I feel like I'm just constantly getting better.
Yeah. Like, I feel like as life should be.
Like, I genuinely think it's sad where people are like, oh my God, high school or whatever was my best years of my life. And I'm like, oh my God, what happened to the rest of your life? Right. So, no, like, I don't want to repeat any years of my life. That like relive it or re-experience it. If I were to go back and redo it with the mindset I have now, absolutely. But to redo it, I'm not living. I don't want to see that again, man.
I feel like I'm so torn because like the water side of me, I feel like loves to relive the past. And especially like, the first thing that came to mind for this question is if I had to choose, I would probably choose the year that I got out of my long-term relationship because it was a blast. Like, but at the same time, I agree with what you said. Like, I feel like life is always getting better because, you know, we're growing, we're experiencing new things. And it is sad where like, I feel like sometimes there's a part of my mind that constantly wants to like redo things in the past, like not necessarily like relive it, but it's like, oh, if I were to do it again with the mindset that I have, I could do it better. But
that wasn't the question. Or else I would definitely go back and redo a lot of things with my current mindset.
Yeah. But I think that's like besides the point, I guess.
Like, if there were moments for me to relive, yes. But I guess maybe this is my, like, sad mindset where I feel like I'm trapped in that 1 year and I have to relive every single moment of it. And I'm like, fuck, that's terrible. That's prison for me. I don't want to redo it. Like, because I'm like, oh, I'm redoing this. Like, oh, I already know what happens. This is shit.
That's funny because I actually feel like, well, maybe because I experienced such bliss, like such like pivotal moments in my life, like I feel like the year that I got out of my toxic relationship was like a really like rebirth year, so I do think of that year very fondly. But I feel like if I were to go back and relive it as the person that I am now, I probably wouldn't feel the same way as I did doing it the first time, you know.
Yeah, because you went from level 10 back to level 1, man. I'm like, oh shit, not this again. But even if I were to experience it, like without the me version of the, I don't know. I just feel like I just feel so trapped in that 1 year. I'm like, God, please just let it end.
That's so funny.
It is okay. My prison.
What is the biggest red flag in a person?
Unwillingness to change. Like not change, like they have to change their life and be a completely different person, but if they're stubborn and they think that everything that they do is the right path and they will not look at other perspectives or consider, you know, suggestions, opinions, whatever you want to call it, that is the biggest red flag for me because we cannot be friends.
That's a good one. I do like that one very much. I feel like the first thought that came to me was if someone cannot be honest with themselves. Ooh. Like, I feel like if someone can't truly be open with themselves and like be direct and show that vulnerability, I feel like that is a red flag to me, because I feel like if someone is not self-aware and like just not being honest with themselves, they're probably not going to change the things that need to be changed.
But do you feel like that's something, like, would you say that's immediate red flag, never want to deal with this person ever again upon, you know, the first time you meet them and you notice that red flag? Or is it something that you're like, you know what, it's been 5 months and this person's still unwilling to be vulnerable, therefore go fuck yourself?
It's hard to say. Like, I think it really depends. I feel like if the shift is slow, then it would be like, I'm out. But that depends. Like, what is slow? You know what I mean? Like,
I guess it's listen to your intuition.
Yeah, listen to your intuition. Because I don't know. I feel like there's so many things, like, if, like, immediate red flags, like, first time meeting someone, it depends. Like, if, is this a friendship? Is this a romantic relationship? I think there's so many things. Like, I think one of them would be, like, if someone, it kind of relates to it, but if someone has, like, a really big ego, and I feel like they can't, like, open up, then that to me is like immediate, like, I can't be friends with you. I can't have a relationship with you.
Yeah, I think immediate red flag for me is definitely ego. Like, if you meet them and in the first, let's say, 20 minutes you talk to them and it's all me, 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 and they never bother to ask a question about you, I'm just like, bro, like, go heal yourself. Thank you very much. I'm going to walk away now.
Bye.
Can you imagine going on a date and they don't even ask about you? They're just like, oh, I blah, 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 blah. I did this. I'm an award winner. I do blah, blah, blah. And then I'd be like, thanks. Bye.
I feel like an indicator of someone with a really big ego is if they're like really defensive or like takes things too personally. Like, they're like overly sensitive and like, you know, I feel like that to me is like a really big ick.
Yeah, I definitely struggle with that, especially coming from me as like I supervise, I manage a team, and I'm just a very honest, blunt, straightforward person where I'm like, hey, you fucked up here. Like, no big deal. I don't care. Just fix it moving forward. But everyone's always like, oh, I didn't know about this. I just started work. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm just pointing this out so that you were aware of it. And then moving forward, you know, not to fuck it up. Like, I'm not blaming you. It's just, I'm very direct. Like, how do I sugarcoat it? How do I fucking, like, oh, I can't even think of anything to how to make it sugarcoated.
Actually,
like, that's not how it works.
I can understand that a lot. It's funny because I feel like maybe it's because you don't have any water signs in your big six. And I feel like that helps you be so like rational about it, which I feel like is a good trait. But like other people, I feel like, especially people with water signs, like myself included, it's like so hard to not like mesh your feelings with something when like the thing itself doesn't require any feelings. Like you said, like, oh, like you messed up one thing, just fix it and do better next time. Like, there's no emotion attached to it. But for people with water, it's like, oh my God, you know, like there's so much into it when it doesn't happen that way.
Oh, okay. Well, that helps me understand. I don't know what signs people are. Well, at least I don't know their big three or big six, but yeah, I literally don't care. Even when I fuck up, they're like, oh, hey, you fucked this up. I'm like, yeah, I fucked up. My bad. Do better next time. Like, I don't care. Like, I can't reverse the mistake. It's done. And that's why when I point things out, I don't care. It doesn't matter how we got here. It just matters how we move forward with it.
And I like that. I feel like this is what water signs can learn from fire signs. Like, it's not a big deal. You know, I think this is something that I constantly practice too, because in the past, I used to get really critical on myself, like whenever I would make a mistake or whatever. And I think over time, you know, there's still times where I feel like bad about it. But now I feel like it's a quicker shift where it's like, you know, you don't have to beat yourself up about it. It doesn't mean you are an unworthy piece of shit. You know, it's just like, move on. It's the next
Well, it's
thing.
definitely a learned thing. It takes practice. It just takes a lot of rerouting, where in the beginning I would just sit and feel bad about it for like 30 minutes a day. I go home, I think about it. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I fucked that up. Sometimes I do. I still do that. For me, that ties to back to shame. If it's a shameful thing I did, like very embarrassing, it haunts me. But when it comes to just fucking something up, like, oh, I made a typo, or like, oh, whatever, that I just no longer care. Like, it's just practice. So where one day you just start admitting to your faults, like, oh, I fucked up, sorry, do better next time. And you do it again, and every time you make a mistake, that's my immediate response. Oops, I fucked up, I'll do better next time. And then over time, you really truly just believe it. And you're like, whatever, it's just a little fuck up. Like, I'll just do better next time. And it truly works. And I guess maybe that's what they say about affirmations. You repeat it, and one day it just doesn't bother you anymore.
I like that. I feel like it's also because we went through so much exposure therapy. Like the universe just constantly giving us these things to like overcome. Because I do feel like I used to take a lot of things quite personally, even just like being on social media and then sometimes receiving like hate comments and all that stuff. And you know, sometimes like certain things still sting a bit. But I do feel like the trigger is much, much less than before. And it's because I went through so many times where I was extremely triggered. And then over time, you just heal more and more.
Yeah, you definitely get used to it. And now a lot of things I'm able to, how do you call it? I don't remember that terminology or whatever you, whatever. I think it was water off a duck's back, they call it. So you just let it slide off like a water off a duck's back. Today is not a good day for me.
It's a brain fog day. No, I
This
feel
whole
you.
like Saturn retrograde thing, man, I mean, I feel like we're gonna call it because our
Yes.
brains are frazzled. But yeah, I really do look forward to being able to speak normally again, although I'm pretty sure there's a Mercury retrograde coming up soon.
I actually don't mind Mercury retrograde as much. You know, Saturn retrograde is a bit more intense.
Yeah, and Venus retrograde made me so broke. I always feel so broke when it's Venus retrograde, because I'm always like, oh, I gotta buy all these things. And then it was like, why did I do that?
My God. But yeah, let's call it there. And I feel like next week we will probably debrief a lot more on our Saturn retrograde experience, but right now it's definitely a rest week.
Yeah, it's affecting me a lot. I can't talk.
All right, go sleep, everybody. Love you.
Goodbye.
Bye.